Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a young man is visited one last time by his late brother to learn who murdered him. A sailor finds that the other person she encounters on her shift may not be of this era. A familiar perfume lingers at specific times and may be a sign that someone has come back to visit. And could the figure that was encountered on a lonely road at night actually be a witch? Like that?
Yeah.
A little added effect there. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I am peachy keen.
Good.
Emphasis on the peach, mm-hmm. Not Perry keen. Or apple keen, or watermelon keen. Why did the peach become part of that saying? What is the...
I don't know.
I wonder what the original thing to that story is. It's one of those, like, random things you would learn on, like, drunk history or something. And that's where the term peachy keen came from. You're like, oh, no shit. That's great. you're like, oh, then you forget exactly. You have that little bit of knowledge for, like, 2 minutes, and then you forget it. Although, you're good at that. You remember those things.
I do. I remember an endless amount of stupid trivia.
Hey, it comes in handy sometimes. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or, of course, you can email us your audio file of your story. Send it over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's how we do it here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm just going to break into This Is How We Do It from Montel Jordan. You ready?
No, okay. Please don't. Let's go a whole episode without you singing.
Damn it. I can do that one really good.
Let's see if you can do it. Can you be a big boy and go a whole episode without singing?
Hey, this is how we do it. All right.
Don't do it.
It's there. Mm-mm. It's there.
I almost titled the episode something that sounded kind of like a song title, and I changed it because I knew you were going to sing.
What was it going to be?
I'm not telling you, because then you'll sing it.
Is it a Lionel Richie song?
No.
What's
it's not.
Who's the artist?
I'm not going to tell you. Just read the stories.
Cranberries?
Yeah, it's the Cranberries.
Linger?
Oh, yeah.
Thomas is our first writer of the day. He says, hi, guys. My name's Thomas. I've been listening to your podcast for the past 2 weeks. I've always believed in the paranormal, but never thought I would use anything or anyone until my brother passed away on March 7th of 2009. Before he passed, we had spent time together for 2 weeks. Now my brother and I did not hang out as much. I was 22. He was 27 at the time, but he had his own life going on. But I remember it was on a Friday night. He was driving out of the parking garage of his apartment complex to drop off my car. It's I Remember from Madonna, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Damn it. So we were on the exit. We shook hands and said our goodbyes, but we, for some odd reason, I zoned out and just stood there his car until he called my name and came back to reality. Shook his hand once again and gave him a hug. I get in my car and something is telling me to follow him. So I try, but he passes a red light and I just stop. I should have tried harder, run the red light to stop him, because later that night he was killed. Now fast forward a few weeks, I had a dream about him. He was next to me in my bed asking me if I can feel his feet. And they were warm and felt as if he was there. Once I woke up and sat up, straight ahead is my door. It was more than half open. And there he was, wrapped up in my sister's blanket, smiling at me and waving his finger at me like saying, I know who did it. I told my mom that morning, and she told me my sister was crying and begging to see him again that night. I guess he did come over for a while to visit. Needless to say, he was right. I did know. From listening to his phone conversations and knowing who he was meeting up with that night, I gave all the information to the detectives. Now, his so-called friend is awaiting trial. Sorry for the long story. I have many more stories to share. Maybe next time, my friends. Love your show. Keep up the good work.
I think that's great that something, you know, productive was able to come out of that visit beyond just the emotional side of it,
mm-hmm.
but kind of him giving a clue as to who killed him.
Well, it's interesting how that works. I mean, that happens, I think, more than a lot of people realize.
Mm-hmm.
With not only this, I mean, you have people who, family members like this, not, you know, necessarily professing to be psychic or anything like that, but look, I don't know how I know this, you know, this is what happened, believe it or not, here's the information, do what you will with it, see if you can figure anything out, and then sometimes things just come together.
Right. Well, and there are some psychics that do that for
exactly.
law enforcement.
Yeah, then you have that too. You mm-hmm. have that whole end of the story. I also think there's sometimes, and we've had stories here on the show, I can't think of any specifically, but I know we have had them, where folks have some sort of experience where they feel that they know some piece of information of someone or something that happened that was tragic, a crime of some sort, and they don't come forward with it because they feel that they're going to be implicated in it somehow as well.
Yeah, we had a very good story on an EPP episode a while back that was just exactly about that, and it was kind of like, how could he go to the police with all these details and not somehow be considered a suspect?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things like, well, how would you actually know this? And then try to figure out your alibi or even remember what you're, because I believe it was like something that happened a long, long time ago.
It was chances were that it was of a little girl, and yeah. even the parents were gone. I mean, it was a very long yeah. time ago.
So to be able to say, oh, I can assure you I was not there when this happened, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You just suddenly have a bunch of evidence in front of you and you know information that you shouldn't know.
Yeah.
And then how do you prove otherwise that it wasn't you? So it's interesting how all the directions that can flow. Alicia writes in, hi guys. I've written in before, but I just wanted to share a short story about my experience 2 days ago. My boyfriend was traveling to Atlanta from the UK. We chose to stay in the Omni Hotel Atlanta for the weekend. I arrived at the hotel around 5 hours before he would arrive at the airport and was relaxing in the room when I noticed the lights in my room kept taking turns flickering on and off. The lamp on my desk, the lamp on the nightstand, and then the overall lights. It was like a light show for about 15 minutes straight. I stepped on the balcony to see if maybe my neighbors were experiencing the same thing. My room was the only room with a flickering light. When I returned to the room after the lights had calmed down, my room phone was ringing, and every time I would answer it, no one was there. I called the front desk thinking that maybe they were trying to reach me, and she told me that they hadn't called, and she was showing no history of room-to-room calls. I was a little creeped out, but felt relatively safe. It's a very beautiful, lively hotel. I decided to take a bubble bath and maybe calm my nerves. During my bath, the faucet would occasionally move from hot water to cold water without my touching it. I decided to leave the room and get out in the town in hopes that it would ease my mind and had a very nice evening. Upon returning to the home with my boyfriend, we laid down to go to sleep. As I was sleeping, I felt my boyfriend curl up beside me and put his arms around me. But he felt unusually cold. Felt like he was holding ice cubes directly on my skin. I rolled over to ask him if I needed to turn up the heat when I noticed he was fast asleep facing the other way. And it definitely couldn't have been him touching me. Just a very weird experience. Love the show, guys. I'm a proud EPP. Keep up the good work. Alicia.
Okay, so you know, at first I thought, okay, it's just some kind of electrical anomaly, but it was electrical, telephone, and plumbing, plus feeling. I goes, there's something going on, and I think it's interesting that it's just probably confined to that room.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's something to do with the inhabitants of the room, or is it more so just the room itself?
I don't know. I think maybe it's just something about that specific room.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to hear on this one, because it's sometimes we've had this before, especially with specific neighborhoods where something happens and somebody calls back or writes in going, I know that neighborhood. I know that house. Mm-hmm. Things like that happened to me, too, in that area. And if anyone has any other stories about that property.
The Omni Hotel in Atlanta.
Yeah. If there's any other things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
That someone's like, oh my God, that happened to me too. Because I think a lot of these, you know, people don't share their stories.
Sure.
You know, and more or less get them on a show like this. And then other people hear it and they're like, oh, wait.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to connect those dots if there's anything like that going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Tara writes in, this is going to be a short story. I used to be in the Navy, and the first ship I was stationed on was the USS Nimitz. Did I say that right?
You did.
There we go.
As an Admiral Nimitz, who you saw his statue in Fredericksburg, Texas, and thought it was Andy Griffith.
I did.
Yeah.
Like, why is there an Andy Griffith statue here? Because he, well, the statue, I'm not going to say he looked like Andy Griffith, because statues don't necessarily, you know, always mm-hmm. look exactly like the person. But I thought his statue did kind of look Andy Griffith-ish.
Your lack of history is appalling. Please proceed.
What's wrong with being looking like Andy Griffith, though?
That you didn't know who it was.
Well, I knew nothing about the town, so I didn't really know why there would be a statue of anyone there, or who would be there. But I just looked at the face, and if I had to guess, I'd say Andy Griffith. Maybe Andy Griffith is from here.
Okay.
I bet there's an Andy Griffith statue in Andy Griffith's hometown.
Yes, and that would be appropriate and normal.
But for all I knew, that could have been.
Okay.
Where he spent his boyhood days. I don't know. One of the many jobs I had was to stand at the back of the ship as a lookout watch. Well, I had just gotten qualified to stand watch by myself, and it was 2:45 a.m. I assured the watch, and I remember putting on the phone headset and looking up to the left side of the ship, seeing this young man staring out into the ocean. I saw him just like I could see anyone else. However, his uniform was old school. He was wearing a Dixie cup, dungarees, and a blue utility shirt. I told him, hey, you need to leave. This is secured. He proceeded to stare out into the if he didn't hear me. I said it a lot louder. You need to leave. This is secured. I also threatened to call security. He turned ever so slowly to look at me, and what I saw was horrifying. His face had looked like he had been mauled by animals. His bottom lip was split in half. I got on the phones and asked to be relieved from that area. As soon as I was done, I looked up, and the guy was gone. I was in the Navy for 6.5 years. That wasn't the only paranormal experience that I went through during my time. A lot of these ships are old and have been through war and have transported dead bodies. Thanks, guys. Take care.
I want to hear more stories.
I'd be really interested in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of those old ships. I have a cousin who's in the Navy, and I don't know what he's on right now, but I know he's... many a places all over the world on many a different ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to ask him about if he has any stories of any experiences. Because when they're on there for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, just I think all the energy, all the electronics, all the metal. It does seem like in the history of where these things may have been and gone and seen.
And being in the water.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of those stories. I know he listens to the show sometimes. So
okay.
If he's listening right now, I won't say his name or anything, but if you have any stories, would love to hear it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would be really cool. Peaches writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Peaches from Indiana. I've been listening since October of 2015 while looking for ghost stories to listen to around Halloween. Ever since then, I've been hooked. Listen to everything that I've gotten in my hands on, and I'm about to become an EPP. I've gotten other friends to listen to you guys, and I love listening to you in my long 12-hour days at work. So on to my story. When I was a kid, young enough to still crawl into bed between my mom and dad, whose bedroom was right across the hall from mine, we awoke one night to an awful noise. I was already obviously scared since I had crawled into my parents' bed, which I only did when it was storming or I had a bad dream. Now, our house is pretty old. When you walked into the back door, we had one of those big, scary furnaces that you could see the flames going inside, almost like the scary furnace from the Home Alone movie. Obviously, not as scary since it wasn't in the basement and only on the back porch, and very nice to come into on a cold winter day as it would keep you very warm. Whenever it happened, the furnace was making an awful loud noise that could be heard through the whole house, not a very large house, just 3-bedroom, 1-level. But since I was in my parents' bedroom, on the other side of the wall was a back porch. So where the bed was directly on the other side was a screaming furnace. I woke terrified, not knowing what was going on. My sister, only 3 years older than me, who was on the other side of the house, also woke up hollering for my parents. My dad yelled for her to stay put and that it would be all right. From what I remember, I can only describe the noise as a loud buzzing and grinding metal at the same time, almost like what you would expect to hear in a factory. Definitely not the normal gentle hum of the blazing furnace. As my parents walked out of the room and I watched them go, I rolled over and glanced around. At the end of my parents' bed stood a man. He was around 5.5 feet tall. He was all black, not a shadow figure, but just in all black, like what you'd expect from a stereotypical burglar from a 90s movie. Pullover stocking cap included only being able to see eyes, but the room being so dark, I couldn't see those. I just knew that there was clothing. I then did what every young child would do, pulled the blankets over my head with a yelp. And my parents came back in only moments later after they had fixed whatever was making the noise, and when I opened my eyes, nothing was there, but I was terrified. I know now what I probably didn't think of then is that I saw a ghost. Though I was a kid who believed in all that, anyways, and always had fanciful daydreams around Halloween about ghosts and witches flying through the air, ghouls coming out of the cemetery, vampires creeping around dark alleys, and zombies roaming during the night. I didn't say anything to my parents. I knew no one was there and that my parents are back, and my dad was a strong man, so even if there was someone, they weren't going to be able to threaten us. I never saw anything in that house again. 20 years in that house, and I don't recall anything. I asked my mom just recently about the noise and what it was, and she told me a part that pumped the hot water through the furnace had broken, and they had shut it off to fix it. Nothing paranormal there, but I told her what happened, and I wanted to know so you guys could know what caused the noise to add extra info to my story. And yes, my mother thought it was very creepy and was glad we don't live there anymore. I got other stories from my friends and husband, like a demonic wolf entity, old-timey voices through speakers, a loud ghost that would be calmed by metal music, and a phantom cat, all of which I would love to tell you. Hope to hear this right on the show. I adore you both. So glad this community exists. Keep up the magic. Much love, Peaches.
It makes you wonder if the ghost had any responsibility in the furnace malfunction, or if he was just doing what he normally does and just got caught watching them this time because of the malfunction.
And the timing all just kind of worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Still, nonetheless, the idea of that furnace, the creepy old Home Alone-y furnace.
I love it when he just looks at it and says, shut up. Mm-hmm. And then it stops.
It's one of those where it really can be looked at either way, because it's all about the setting and the mindset that you have when you're by the furnace like that. It'd be really nice and warm and cozy and cabin-like, you know, or it can be scary and demonic like it is on Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one of the appliance that can take on so many different forms. Does anybody use those anymore? Like, can you get one? I know they probably use them if they exist in an old home and that's the only option you have. Uh-huh. But I'm asking, I guess, if you wanted to get one, like you specifically wanted that look, you wanted to deal with all of the headache that can go along with having to maintain one of those things, can you get one?
I honestly don't know.
Like new, not like just out of someone's old home that reinstalling it, I wonder.
I don't know.
I could see that being kind of an interesting retro-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who maybe grew up having one, like, oh, I want one of those too. Because there is something kind of, I would never really want it, but there is something kind of neat of the furnaces where you have to literally take the logs that are chopped and throw them in every now and then.
Sure.
To keep them going. I like that to a certain extent. Not the work involved, chopping all the logs and then having a vast supply for the winter uh-huh. all along your basement wall so you can keep throwing them in there.
Uh-huh.
But I do like the idea.
Okay.
Like, as a visitor. Like, can I throw a log in? Okay, great, I'm done. Yeah,
there's still, like, wood-burning furnaces yeah. and pellet furnaces
yes.
and stuff like that. But I don't know, like the Home Alone one, if you yeah. wanted one of those brand new. I don't know.
I just, yeah, it'd be kind of interesting. I suppose there's probably somebody who, like, out there, if you Googled it enough, who I'm sure probably gets these things, refurbishes them. Although those are heavy-ass pieces of metal.
Yeah.
So I don't know if even that's feasible. I think those are probably one of those items where... Oh, we're tearing this house down, and do we want the furnace? No. Even though it'd be really cool to get out and use for something, probably not always salvageable mm-hmm. to get out just because of the pure weight and trying to get it out of the home.
Yeah.
But interesting stuff. Taylor writes in, I heard a lot of the same kind of story on your podcast, so I felt compelled to share mine. I'm not a sensitive person to the paranormal, but I don't deny it exists. I'm the kind of person that has to see something to believe it. I didn't really contribute this experience I had to possible paranormal activity, but after listening to your podcast, I believe it might be one. I had one of my best friends pass away when I was 18. She was about to turn 16, and it wasn't any of any natural causes. So this was a huge shock to everyone. I was supposed to work that day, but I quit my terrible job, and we all gathered and grieved for about 3 days together. Then we all went our separate ways. I didn't leave my bed for about 3 weeks unless it was necessary. I had a very hard time coping with the loss because I was stuck on the last time I saw her. I said bye, but I usually say, I love you, and give her a big hug, too. Never wanted the last time I saw her to leave on that kind of a note. I had trouble sleeping for those several weeks and had to use a sleep aid to even get to sleep. The reason why I could even get out of bed after her passing was a dream I had. I've never had vivid dreams or even remember my dreams at all. Usually it feels like I go on standby until I wake up. But this one dream that I had was so vivid, and it stuck on me even now. I found my friend just sitting on a railing, smiling at me when I saw her. I rushed over, and I was so happy. I grabbed her with a huge hug. Oh my God, how are you? I asked her. I'm fine. I heard you wanted to see me, she said. Yeah, I never got a chance to tell you I loved you last time I saw you. I felt super bad about it. It's fine. I love you too. She smiled her cheery smile as usual. We talked about some other stuff, like how she's doing now and if anything was new with me. In the morning, I'd awoken from my dream with tears soaking my pillow, but I wasn't upset at all. I actually felt relieved, like I had been able to give her that hug, tell her that I loved her, and finally say goodbye to her. After that, I didn't need the sleep aids anymore, and I got out of my bed, and I actually went on with life again.
I think that's great when you can have that kind of closure in a dream. And I think a lot of times it's not just a dream. That mm-hmm. It is an actual visit, but it's so hard to get anybody to take it seriously or put any stock into it because it happened while you were asleep.
Sure. You know, dream that is really a ghost or not, that person needed that closure.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it in fact was her coming to that person in that dream or not, it had the intended consequence.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. You know, and when things like that happen, you know, it's hard to know either way. But nonetheless, you know, there's nothing wrong with believing that in fact was her coming back to just say hey and give that closure.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that experience with us. Amanda writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Amanda. I'm from South Louisiana. I'd call in, but I hate the sound of my voice, and I don't want to end up hearing it if you select this story for a future show. I had a few stories to tell, but I'm going to start with this one. I'm going to apologize now for the length. I'm an English major, and I tend to be a little long-winded. So a little backstory. My family has been doing extensive research into our family history and found out that we're related to Marie Laveau, the famous voodoo queen of New Orleans, which was a shock to us because we are primarily French and Native American and had no idea that we had any African-American heritage. I have tons of information about her in general and would love to share if you guys are interested. For instance, there are actually two Marie Laveaus, and Marie the First named her daughter after her. Marie the Second is actually who most people relate as the Voodoo Queen. Also, Marie the First and Marie the Second looked as so similar that Marie the Second took over her mother's work and people just believe that it was still the mother, leading to the legend that Marie Laveau lived for a very long time or was even immortal, like in American horror story. Anyway, I'll leave that alone for now. The reason I bring it up is because my family all seem to be slightly sensitive to the paranormal. Some more than others, but we all have our little stories and experiences to share. The story I've chosen to tell you today reminded me of another story I heard. I'm quite backlogged, so I'm not sure how long ago this story is, but it was about a woman who could smell spirits. It made me think about my experiences with my paternal grandmother after she passed away. When she was alive, she was extremely opinionated. She was going to tell you exactly what she thought and how she felt. Usually it wasn't good. Anyway, after she passed on, we found several books about witchcraft, including a book with symbols and ritual makings that showed signs of being traced over. So we gathered that she must have been practicing witchcraft. Now, this is my parental grandmother. My relation to Marie Laveau came from my mother's side.
Okay. Once again, it's paternal.
Ah!
As in dad.
Paternal. Parental is would never be used in that sense, correct?
Unless probably you had a grandparent that raised you as a parent. But paternal.
Paternal.
Is the word we're looking for.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
That's the word. What is that? I'm trying to think. It's like, it's almost like a game show. We're sorry. You didn't win the $10,000 pyramid. So paternal.
Mm-hmm.
Paternal grandmother. My relation to Marie Laveau came from my mother's side, so I have paranormal influences on both sides, I suppose. Moving on, after she died, I kept having moments where I would smell the perfume of Red Door. This was my grandmother's favorite perfume. I do not ever remember her wearing anything else. She also was a chain smoker, so she'd practically bathe in it because of her sense of smell was shot. So every time I'd smell this smell, I'd think of her. At first, I only noticed it when I was at work or in public, so I'd brush it off as someone around me wearing it. Eventually, it began to happen in my apartment and then in my car when I was alone. Afterward, I assumed it was her. So when I'd smell it, I began talking to her when I smelled it. Just say hello of whatever. It would hang around for a while and then disappear. Eventually, I stopped smelling for a while until a boyfriend and now husband was going through a rough patch. We lived together for quite a while before getting married, so we had a lot of things to hash out over living together. A lot of personal issues with his family, more specifically his mother. Anytime I would be at fault during the argument, I'd smell the perfume. It would stop me in my tracks. I knew she was telling me to shut the hell up and listen because I was wrong and I knew it. I was just being stubborn. A trait I inherited from her. Once we patched everything up and we're in a better place in our relationship, I stopped smelling the perfume altogether and have not smelled it since. It's about 4 or 5 years now. I think the reason I do not smell it anymore is because she knows I am being taken care of, that I do not need her anymore, and that before then, she felt she needed to check on me and make sure I was all right. I also felt comfort in the fact that she seemed to be saving my relationship with my now husband. She did not really like anyone's significant others, but I suppose she liked him. I did smell Red Door once more during my first dance with my husband during our wedding. It really touched me that she stopped by to see me marry my best friend, and I think she was telling me she approved. But what do you guys think? Hope you guys can use this story. I've been literally binge listening for about 2 weeks now, listening at work, so probably 8 to 9 hours a day. It's a great way to make your days go by faster. My husband and I are considering relocating across the country, and once we figure that all out, I plan on becoming an EPP. Thanks, guys, for keeping up the awesome work, and if you want to hear any of my other stories, just let me know. A few more, including one that happened to my husband, who is straight-up skeptic and actually quite fearful of the idea of ghosts. Amanda from South Louisiana.
The idea of goats.
Goats. I'm scared of goats, too.
I think maybe, you know, the grandmother might have known who she was supposed to end up with, who was going to be the right one for her,
mm-hmm.
and kind of guided that along by just her presence.
Making sure that things get resolved and they don't sit there and kind of prodded her along.
And just kind of the final goodbye was when, you know, she smelled the perfume at their first dance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's a sweet one.
I wish there was a ghost rule that anyone that's a ghost that originated in Louisiana emitted the smell of Louisiana cooking.
Yeah.
That would be great. It's like, oh, etouffee and all sorts of fun smells. You know, it's like a jambalaya, you know,
mm-hmm.
just because that's my favorite type of food in the world. And I love the smell of it too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'd just be, that'd be a pleasant ghost smell.
It would be.
I wonder, you know, if we always hear stories of the scent of perfume, mm-hmm. you know, tobacco, things of that nature. Have we ever had a ghost scent of food?
Tangerine farts.
We did have tangerine farts. Mm-hmm. But again, it was like something that emanated from the person, though, too.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's just one of those ghost rules. You can't smell what you like to cook. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you're around it so darn much that you just, that ends up being your perfume smell.
Yeah, and because your clothes always smelled like it, and you sure. always smelled like it.
It's like being around a campfire. Mm-hmm. You end up smelling like a campfire. I suppose if you sit around enough gumbo and make enough, you're going to start smelling like gumbo.
Could be.
Be interesting. Adrian writes, and hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Adrian from Kerrville, Texas. Been listening to your show for a couple weeks now. Love every episode so far. Going to be becoming an EPP soon because I know that's what keeps your show alive and can only imagine how much creepier the EPP exclusive episodes are. Yes, you would be right in that sentiment. They are ultra creepy, and that is indeed what keeps this thing alive. So thank you very much for that. Got a few paranormal stories of my own, but for now I want to share a story about my uncle and a possible shadow person or witch. This takes place in a very rural, middle of nowhere type of place in the state of Zacatecas, Mexico. Sorry, Tony. I think I said it okay. Did I?
I don't honestly know if you said it the right way or not.
We'll go with that.
Okay.
My uncle lives on a big ranch. It's kind of like a small village surrounded by huge pieces of land meant for cattle and goats. We get rent to goats.
Are you going to get a goat bell?
Meh. I'm just going to do that every time. To roam and graze. In the very center of the ranch is a small chapel with an open area in front where dances are sometimes held. I guess you could call it a courtyard. Well, one night when everyone at the ranch was at the courtyard dancing and drinking, my uncle decided to use a cigarette and some silence. As much of a smoker as he is, he's never liked being around people when he smokes because of the secondhand smoke. So he wandered off, started walking down a common dirt road, which the ranchers used to take the livestock into the fields. A few minutes later, he's a far distance down the road, surrounded by open fields left and right, and there are no sources of light anywhere except an almost full moon. So he can still see pretty clear. This is when he saw a black figure that looked feminine floating, but at the same time walking through the middle of the field out into the wilderness. Keep in mind, there are no forests in this area, just a lot of hills with trees scattered here and there. My uncle calls out to the woman, asking her, "Where are you going? Is everything all right?" The faceless figure turns in his direction, but immediately turns back and darts in the direction it was originally going. This time, he said, it moved as fast as someone sprinting full speed or even faster. Thing is, it wasn't running, but rather still floating until it faded into the darkness of the night. He says whatever it was he could feel, I didn't want him to know what it was up to or where it was going. Full of fear, he returned to the party without saying a word to anyone that night and walked straight to his house, in which he lived alone, got into bed, and laid there until he eventually fell asleep. That's his only paranormal experience he's ever had, but is still unforgettable to this day. I don't know whether he saw a shadow person, a witch, or just a ghost on the ranch. I know the description sounds like a shadow person, but in Mexico, it's very common to hear stories of witches that live in the hills. It's said that they shapeshift and usually take the form of large owls. We call those lacusas.
Okay.
I think. I'll have more recent personal stories of those for you in the future. For now, I'd love to hear y'all's opinion on what you think he might have seen that night. And why it didn't want to be followed. Or maybe it did want him to follow him into the hills. We'll just never find out. Just seems odd to me because I'm so used to hearing stories on your show where things like this want to be seen by the person. Hope to make it onto the show. Greatly appreciate some feedback. Hope keep up the great work. I'll write in again when I'm an EPP.
It's hard for us to know what it was, but there's, you know, a lot of folklore in Mexico of different types of it's like different types of female entities that people run into, and they, you know, are a sign of death or sign of this or sign mm-hmm. of that. And I don't know if they are witches or ghosts, but either way, it's usually not a good thing.
Nothing super pleasant there.
No.
No, I mean, and I also wonder too, you know, because they're referencing, you know, these things seemingly want to be seen in a lot of cases. But in some cases, I think we're just happening to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And they really have no intent of being seen or realize that you can see them. So it's hard to know what was going on there. I think there's something going on in this specific case. So I just kind of get the feeling it's probably not the greatest thing.
No.
Maybe kind of trying to lure that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for the story. We appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hello, Brewskis. This is Concy. Tony wrote one of my stories, and about my what I believe is was my grandpa. They came in the Day of the Dead, like as smoke, freak us out, my grandma and I. So that's, I don't know if you guys remember. And I am from Brazil. I'm Portuguese descendant, and that's why I have this accent. And even though I'm here for 25 years, I can't help it. I still have it. And I think when you learn a language after you're 30 years old, it's impossible for you to not have the accent from your the place that you were born. So. But anyway, I have this other story that happened about 10 years ago. I went to visit my mom and my brothers and my nephews and nieces. And my dad had died before the first grandkid was born, so that was sad, but he never saw them. So we were gathered in my mom's apartment. We were in the living room, you know, we're talking, and the kids were playing, and all of a sudden I had this very strong feeling that someone was at the corner and the door that goes out of the apartment. But I couldn't see, I just could feel. And then I started to really realize, recognize the presence that was my dad. So I didn't say anything, I didn't want to freak anybody out. I just had that very strong feeling that he was there observing, enjoying us, seeing all of us together. That was when my mom looked at me and said, "Do you feel him too?" Yeah, and that was like really, really amazing. I really believe that he was there, and I believe he has been there with her since he died. I think he was waiting for her, and she died like about 4 years ago. And I always thought that he was there with her. She never remarried. He died. She was still quite young, and you know, she had like men that were interested in marrying her, and she said she would never be happy with anybody else but my dad. So I truly believe that he was there. And the funny thing it is that I remember when I was sleeping in with my daughter and husband in the one of the bedrooms. I somehow at night I wasn't resting enough because I felt like the somebody touching my feet or pulling the covers, and I thought it was my kid, but I would look around, there was nobody, and so I think he tried to call my attention, and yeah, it was weird. He was there. You know, I my mom never said much, but I'm pretty sure that he was there the whole time with her. So that's it, guys. Thank you so much for all you do. I love your show, and I'm always listening to you guys in my commute to a different city. I'm a hairdresser, so yeah. So okay, thank you guys so much, and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
I think it's interesting when a presence is so strong that two separate people can pick up on it. You mm-hmm. know, it's kind of unusual. Most of the time it's one person, unless something physical is moved or something like that. But just picking up on that presence, it's kind of funny.
And having knowledge of it, and yeah.
Who it is.
It really adds more validity mm-hmm. to the story, and like, oh yes, this is indeed who we think it may be.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you for sharing that story with us and emailing that into us. Greatly appreciate that. Thank you. If you contributed to today's episode, if you like the show, please support us. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Get all the bonus episodes, about 90-some of them, just waiting for you to enjoy, and all the exclusive video content as well. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.